good morning, good morning, good morning. They say it's the routine that kills you in the end, but it's all right, the routine. It is now, as I record, it is 3 minutes past six. It is a filthy, filthy morning in Salford. It is absolutely horrible. Wet and cold, just back from the park. Had a funny incident in the park this morning. I usually get in there around about 4:45. Understandably, I never see anybody. But this morning, some poor unfortunate bloke, what he was doing, I have no idea. A heavy set fella in a black, seemingly black t-shirt and black shorts, decided that 4:45 in the morning was this particular morning was the time to begin a new jogging routine. A German Shepherd and Golden Retriever had never seen the bloke before, so proceeded to start screaming at him and scare the living bejesus out of him. The guy was okay about it. All they do is bark. Mine are trained. I called them back and they came back immediately. But he'd nearly had a heart attack, the chap. So I said, "Where have you come from?" "Ah, sure," he says. "I've run up from Eccles. I've never seen you around here before." "No, I've never come this way before," he said, "and I probably won't again." So I said, "Fair play to you, good lad. Mine have illuminated collars." I said, "To give dog walkers a chance in the park, if you're going to run in the dark, I've said this before, why don't you wear an armband that lights up or something? Because then I might have seen you in the distance and I would have put them on the lead." But anyway, and you know, German Shepherds, Bobby is huge now and her bark is loud. It's incredibly loud. Anyway, no harm, no foul. That's my little bit of excitement now for Wednesday. It isn't even Wednesday. Dementia is rapidly creeping up on me. It is Thursday and it is the 28th of March. It's nearly Easter. Isn't that nice? Shall I go straight to the front pages? Let's do it. The Metro headline, "Totally Failed," is the headline. This is a rotten, rotten story. It really is. We don't have children of our own, but I love children. I love babies. I love meeting children when we're out and about with the dogs. And one of the things, having dogs, it gives you the opportunity to meet children. And children are beautiful, aren't they? And happy and full of life and curiosity and madness. And I love children. We meet a lot of kids down around Media City and they come running up to the dogs, fearless. You know, and we have a chat and we meet their parents. And this is a horrendous story. Finlay Bowden, you've probably been hearing about it this week. This goes back to the tyranny of lockdowns. This guy was murdered by his parents and this would never have happened if it hadn't been for lockdowns. He was completely failed. They're saying it's one of the worst cases of failure in safeguarding in living memory. 39 days after being given back to his family, social workers gave him back to his drug-addicted parents and then didn't check on him at all. And lockdown had something to do with this beautiful kid who was murdered by the parents. So that's the story on the front page of the Metro. It's a depressing one. It really is horrible. The Oi newspaper. Labour attacked for feeble plan on Britain's sewage crisis. Number of papers are talking about polluted water, waterways, rivers in the UK. So Labour is being attacked for not having any real plan to deal with this sewage crisis, according to the Oi. Labour has called for an immediate ban on bonuses for bosses of polluting water companies. But a charity called Wildfish has said bonus bans are feeble gestures and water companies must be forced legally through legislation to invest to end the spilling of sewage. So that's the Oi newspaper. The Guardian goes with pollution in our rivers and seas as well. Its headline is "Outrage After Record Discharges of Sewage into Rivers and Seas." So that's an on. You might have switched on Sky News lately or BBC News 24 and you might have seen Fergal Sharkey, the legendary Fergal from the Undertones, of course, and also he had a lot of great solo success. He's become the face of a campaign to have our rivers and seas, our coastlines cleaned up, and to go after the bosses of water companies. So the Guardian is going with it as well. The scale of sewage being discharged, untreated sewage, into rivers and seas is disgusting. It is disgusting. And on that, this weekend we'll see the legendary, to use that term again, boat race, the legendary boat race on the Thames, which takes place annually. Crews, female and male crews. So you have male crews competing against one another, and then you have female crews from Oxford and from Cambridge, the Ivy League unis. They have been told not to enter the water because the Thames has got an E. coli issue at the moment. The water, the Thames water is in a pretty bad state. And it would be Thames Valley Water would be the private company, wouldn't it? Responsible for the state or the condition of the Thames. If memory serves, when the boat race ends, the winning team often throws the cox. And the cox, how do you describe the cox? It's the little dude or the little woman shouting at the rowers with a loudhailer. Isn't that right to tell them, speed up, hurry up, or you need to turn a bit or something along those lines. So don't go into the water because it's filthy and dangerous. That's the Guardian. The Times. Johnson had right idea on levelling up, says Starmer. Okay. The Labour leader, Keir Starmer, has given some praise to Boris Johnson, the former Prime Minister, over his mission to level up the UK. Starmer accused the current PM, Rishi Sunak, of killing the policy. Okay. Daily Express, King calls for more kindness in time of need. I won't take any lessons from that jug-eared bastard in being kind, because he is a notoriously grumpy, rude, curmudgeonly fucker, isn't he? The cheek of him. But he's going to a pre-recorded Easter message will be broadcast on Easter Sunday. And the King will stress the importance of extending the hand of friendship, especially in a time of need. This message will be broadcast at Worcester Cathedral, where a service will be led by his wife, the Queen. Yeah, right. The Daily Telegraph, same story. King thanks public for extending hand of friendship. Easter message of care and service will be played at the gathering on Sunday. That's the Telegraph. The Daily Star. I mean, the Daily Star's front pages, they become even more ridiculous as the days go on. You think the current day's headline cannot be any more preposterous or outrageous than the previous days, but it can. I'm being haunted by Paul O'Grady. Says who? Says Gabby Roslin. Fuck off. I tell you what, if I was being haunted by Paul O'Grady, I'd commit suicide, to be honest. To be fair to Paul O'Grady, he was a very talented person. Drag artist Lily Savage, game show host, stand-up comedian. And he was a very good, I think, Paul O'Grady, entertainment chat show host. He was very good. He listened to his guests and it wasn't all about him. So I must give him a bit of credit. But he was a bit of a screaming queen. And I have a real aversion to screaming queens like Alan Carr and people like that. I just can't listen to them. If Paul O'Grady was haunting me, I think I'd just say enough's enough, really. It's a year since he died, apparently, because the Daily Mirror's headline is Day I Lost My Paul. And that's Paul O'Grady's husband, Andre Portasio. He's spoken out for the very first time about losing his husband Paul O'Grady last year. He would have been a very much kind of in the background type figure, I think, Paul O'Grady's husband. He was a very private person, is a very private person. The Sun, Gogglebox George falls to his death. Now, I've never watched Gogglebox. it's popular, so I must be missing something. But for me, the idea that I would sit and watch a program, which is basically a program which features so-called celebrities watching television programs and commenting on them. It's utterly ridiculous to me that, but people do watch it. You're watching people watching television and talking about it. Madness. And a man who featured in Gogglebox, George Gilby, I never heard of the guy because I don't watch the program, works at a warehouse most of the time and fell from a height at a warehouse where he was working and has passed away. That's sad for people who know him, of course. I never heard of the guy, but that's the front page of the Mirror. The Financial Times blockbuster M&A begins to recover after a long drought for deal makers. What's that about? I don't know. We'll leave it. It doesn't matter. Right. Let's look inside the papers. Thank you for downloading the podcast. It's The Papers with me, Richie Allen, Thursday, the 28th of March, 2024. Let's have a little look inside. Will we begin with The Times? Now, this is really interesting. The Times. Did I feature the front page of The Times today? Did I? I don't think I did I? Yes, I did. The front page headline. Johnson had right idea on levelling up. Yes, but also on the front page of The Times, and we're looking at it now inside The Times, is a very, very interesting account by a man called Paul Morgan Bentley of his time working undercover at His Majesty's Prison, HMP Bedford. So the headline is, I worked undercover in one of UK's most dangerous jails without checks. Now, this is a crazy story, and to read it, you'll have to subscribe to The Times. I'm not going to read all of it. But he has made a video diary working inside this prison, and basically says, I mean, this is a very serious prison with very serious criminals and dangerous people housed within it. He says that security is basically non-existent in this prison and that this is deadly dangerous. Excuse me, he's written, it's just before dawn, I'm one of dozens of staff arriving to start our shifts at Bedford Prison. Walking through the door, I flash an ID to someone on reception, carry on walking straight through security. And this is where it begins to get absolutely mental, right? I pass a stack of trays, the kind used in airports for the X-ray baggage scanners. Nobody is using them, and the prison's scanner appears to be switched off. I carry on through a large arch metal detector. Its alarm goes off, probably because I haven't taken off any of my prison uniform or emptied out the keys, wallet, and other items in my pockets. But there's nobody manning the scanners, so I just keep on going and nobody stops me. He lingers around, he says, to see if there's any change, but there is no one on security by the scanners for at least a half an hour, and several people working at the prison, officers, cleaners and support workers, walk inside without being searched. I've only been in the job for a few days, a role I first applied for a few weeks ago, but I've already been given access to prison keys. I walk freely in and around the prison wings, inches from the inmates who chat to me while I am working. I could have anything on me, like drugs, like weapons, illicit items could be used to aid an escape, and I could pass these to a prisoner without anybody knowing. He's worked undercover for a month, one of several prisons nationwide which are at risk of spiralling out of control. This is crazy. He goes on to talk about when he applied for the job, there was little or no vetting of him at all. So desperate are the recruitment companies to get people to work in prisons. It is a wild west and it is dangerous. And that's a big, big splash inside the Times today. An undercover officer, Paul Morgan Bentley, with a video diary filming undercover, says you wouldn't believe what's going on in one of the most high security prisons in the country. There's no fucking security. I mean, that's crazy, isn't it? Isn't it? You'd almost imagine they want something to happen, but that's me being silly and conspiratorial. This one made me laugh. It's tragic, but it made me laugh. Ireland backs bid to include blocking of aid in definition of genocide. This is inside The Guardian. right? Ireland, right? Ireland, which is a fiefdom of Brussels. Ireland, a country which has no rights. Its government has no rights to do anything at all without the permission of Brussels. And that's true, by the way. I'm not exaggerating. This, Ireland will seek to widen the definition of genocide to include blocking humanitarian aid in a landmark International Court of Justice case against Israel. The Irish government will intervene in the case taken by South Africa and will argue that restricting food and other essentials in Gaza may constitute genocidal intent, the Foreign Minister Micheál Martin said on Wednesday. He told The Guardian, "We believe there is a case given how this war has been conducted. We will invite the court to consider the issue of broadening how you determine whether genocide has taken place or not on the basis of an entire population being collectively punished. A clear pattern of behaviour had impeded humanitarian aid, resulting in widespread suffering," he said. "Half the population of Gaza is facing famine and 100% of Gaza's population is experiencing food insecurity." Now, to back up Martin, aid agencies are saying only about a fifth of necessary supplies are reaching Gaza because Israel continues to block it while continuing air and ground offensive in the enclave in the wake of Hamas's attacks last October. So we need to broaden the definition, says Micheál Martin, the Irish foreign minister. By doing that, we can maybe bring the Israeli government to heel. If you listen to the Richie Allen Show, you will have heard me cover yesterday the UN Special Rapporteur on Palestine, Francesca Albanese. She's an international lawyer and a respected one, not by Israel, but she's respected, and says that genocide has and is occurring in Gaza and that Israel needs to be punished for it. That was yesterday, and that was The Guardian. The Telegraph. Police delete hate incident from Tory MP's record after trans Twitter row with Greens. Now, this is Rachel McLean, a Tory MP and a deputy chairwoman of the party. What happened? Well, going back to late last year, she was in a bit of a Twitter spat. She retweeted something. She retweeted a comment about Melissa Poulton. Now, Melissa Poulton is a Green Party candidate, political candidate, and Melissa Poulton is a man, okay? And somebody tweeted that Melissa Poulton is a man who wears a wig and calls himself a lesbian. So the Tory MP McLean, she retweeted this and added her own comment, "While the Greens don't know what a woman is, my Worcestershire neighbours, the people of Bromsgrove, certainly do." So that's fair enough. Melissa Poulton is a man in a wig who laughably claims to be a lesbian, because men can't be lesbians, and of course men can't be women. But as you might remember, because we talked about this on the Richie Allen Show, West Mercia police recorded this exchange as a non-crime hate incident. Bizarrely and very dystopianly, is no such word. But the free speech campaigners got involved and went after the West Mercia police. This is the Free Speech Union. Toby Young is heavily involved in it. They challenged West Mercia police, and the police have now finally removed details of the incident from their records. They've deleted it. It's outlandish. I know I use these superlatives. I can't find new ones. It's fucking outrageous that the police would make a record of this and call it a non-crime hate incident. How utterly Orwellian, as we said, and I say too many times on the programme. But in a letter shared by the Guido Fawkes website, Richard Cooper, Deputy Chief Constable of West Mercia Police, said, "Having sought the advice from the legal department and force crime and incident registrar, it has been determined the incident didn't meet the definition of an incident." We have decided the incident did not meet the definition of an incident, as defined by the national standard for incident recording. I can't believe the times we live in. I really can't. So they've scrubbed it now, and Rachel McLean is delighted. And it remains a fact that men cannot be women and men cannot be lesbians. It's just a fact. Staying with The Telegraph, kind of on this subject, kind of, NHS workers asked if they are grey, romantic, abrosexual or endosex. What the hell? Well, this is an LGBTQIA network survey. And this was unearthed by Kathleen Stock. You know all about Kathleen Stock, don't you? The academic. The lesbian woman. I suppose you'd call her a feminist, Kathleen Stock. She was hounded out of her job by trans crazies and activists because Kathleen believes that biological sex is immutable, which it is. Now, she's unearthed this crazy survey given to NHS workers asking them their current sex and what umbrella would your romantic orientation fall under, among other characteristics. And you wonder how they're squandering billions and billions of pounds a year in the NHS. By the way, when this came to light, they binned it out of embarrassment, I believe. They binned the survey, right, when it came to light. What is your current sex? Well, currently I'm male, but I'm gender fluid. And what's your romantic orientation, among other characteristics? The survey explains that grey romantic or grey sexual means rarely or only under certain conditions does a person experience romantic sexual attraction. This is narcissistic fucking bollocks, this, isn't it? Isn't it? People going about wanting to tell you, wanting to kind of burden you with this bullshit. By the way, I'm grey romantic. Well, what does that mean? Well, I can only be attracted to somebody very rarely or under certain romantic conditions. Do you know what you are? You're a monumental dickhead, completely wrapped up in yourself, obsessed with yourself, you narcissistic wanker. Fuck off. I don't care. Is what we should say to these people in those exact terms. Madness, isn't it? I'm demi. What does demi mean, dear? Well, sexual attraction for me only occurs when an emotional bond is formed, but sometimes I'm abrosexual. Well, what does that mean? Well, sometimes my attraction can change. It can change over time. So the LGBTQIA network said this survey would contribute towards actions and strategy, not just for the network, but for the organisation. Listen, you fucking morons. Spend more time making sure that your staff can properly attach catheters, that you can dress wounds, that you spot the signs of serious illness without always needing a scan, that you can talk to and listen to your patients better, and stop with all of this fucking nonsense. Please. Please. Wow. Abro-romantic attraction means fluidity within romantic attraction. Aromantic means experiencing little or no romantic feeling. And they're asking people to talk about it. People working within the NHS. I think they need to, you know, no, don't suggest violence, Richie. Violence is never the answer, is it? Here's one in the Express that I enjoyed reading. Furious John Wayne had to be held down by 6 guards during Marlon Brando's Oscar win. I know John Wayne is dead. I'm pretty sure Marlon Brando has popped his clogs and shuffled off this mortal coil. I think he is dead, Brando. 51 years ago this week, The Godfather won 3 Academy Awards. It was nominated for 10, but not without controversy. Roger Moore, the current star, what he was then, of James Bond. He was the Bond. He was a good Bond. I liked Roger Moore. He was due to announce Marlon Brando, but Marlon stayed at home and sent a 26-year-old Native American civil rights activist and actress to receive the award in his place. She rocked up Sachin Littlefeather. Have you ever seen her? She was fucking gorgeous. Absolutely beautiful. So she rocked up to accept his award. She'd been at his house, had this Native American woman. And he, in her presence, had written an 8-page speech about civil rights for Native Americans. And she was going to read this out in protest in his place, receiving the award off of Roger Moore. Anyway, she says that John Wayne lost his shit. Didn't like it at all. She was going to protest the treatment of American Indian people by the film industry, by the films they made and the television shows they made. And at the time, Wounded Knee was being occupied by Native American activists, even the site of the 1890 massacre by the US Army. So at that very time, 51 years ago, there was an occupation going on. So she wanted to talk about this. Marlon Brando said, yeah, go ahead, in my place. She says John Wayne had to be held back by 6 or 7 guards because he wanted to basically knock the bejesus out of her. And even afterwards, backstage, he had to be restrained from accosting her, this wonderful actress, Native American woman. This has emerged in a documentary called Sachin. There you go. She was gorgeous, yeah. Sachin Littlefeather. Lazy old Marlon Brando stayed at home and he said, come on, love, come on. You go and stand up for Native Americans, yeah. That wasn't woke. That was very good by Marlon Brando. Wasn't woke. That was worthwhile, I think. In the Times, are you planning to gorge on chocolate this weekend? Don't eat a whole Easter egg in one go, warns NHS bosses. Now, this story has been rumbling all week long. This story emerged on Monday or Tuesday. And the conservative talk radio shows loved it because they love complaining about the nanny state, you know. So anyway, a doctor's warning not to eat an Easter egg in one sitting has been taken down from his NHS board's website after accusations the advice resembled nannying state or a nannying state. It was Andrew Kelso, medical director at the NHS Suffolk and North East Essex Trust. He warned of large chocolate eggs' calorific value and they could contribute to obesity, tooth decay and diabetes, as if we don't know. So the likes of Nigel Farage on GB News and others ranted and raved about this being the nanny state, yeah. And now the advice has been taken down. I don't eat Easter eggs usually. It's been I know El Frogo Tremendo, Froggy, will probably buy me one, but she'll end up eating it, I suppose. I treat my body like a temple these days. I am a trim 13 stone 8.5 pounds, 6'5.5 inches tall after I publish this podcast. I will be out on the roads of Salford running to maintain my trim exterior. I want to look my best, you see. Not for vanity reasons, but it's just good to be in good shape, you know, in my opinion. The Daily Mirror finally then today for the papers. Landlord's boozer stripped of Pub of the Year award after Nazi memorabilia on display. What's this? A pub had been given the Pub of the Year award, the accolade, and it has been withdrawn. The pub is a pub I have been in myself, and it's a lovely pub. The Hole in the Wall pub in Bodmin was crowned the best pub in Cornwall by Camera Curnow, partly because of its quirky decor. It is quirky. The historic pub is filled with wall-to-wall curios, including a stuffed lion, historic guns and a picture of Winston Churchill. But the landlord, Steve Hall, has been criticised after a complaint was made about a swastika armband being on show. So Camera, the bosses, they reacted quickly by withdrawing the award from poor old Steve. And Steve says, listen, the display has been taken out of context completely He's upset and annoyed about it. My image has been tarnished, he said. The piece of military memorabilia that they are whinging about has been in the pub since it opened 80 years ago. There are a lot of curios in the pub, a lot of stuff on display. He's gutted, his poor old Steve. It's a nice pub. We've stayed in Cornwall a few times in recent years, myself, the missus and the puppies. And I don't remember seeing the swastika armband, but it's preposterous, of course. Ridiculous, I'm going to use these superlatives again. It's madness to suggest that the pub is promoting any Nazi ideology because of some memorabilia. But he's had his Pub of the Year award taken away. Poor old Steve. That is it for today's edition of The Papers. The Papers will return tomorrow Friday. That is Good Friday. Usual time it'll be online. I do hope you can join me at 4 o'clock this afternoon Thursday for the live Richie Allen radio show, which is always live and it's very interactive. Sometimes it's very good. Most times it's not bad at all. Join me at 4 and enjoy the rest of your Thursday. I hope the weather clears up. Speak later. Bye now.